Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Yes! Touchdown! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami! Buddy, how are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike, and we are broadcasting live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios on this Monday, April 2nd. And we have a big show for you today. Later on in the podcast, I will be joined by Jason Leisure of the Palm Beach Post. He is one of the beat reporters for the Miami Dolphins. For the Palm Beach Post, he's someone I've wanted to have on this podcast for a while, and he was so kind today to give us a few moments of his time to talk about all things Miami Dolphins, to get his thoughts on some of the players that left and some of the players that they signed and where Miami is looking in the draft that is upcoming in less than a month. So later on in the show, I will be joined by Jason Leisure of the Palm Beach Post. But first, let's go over some of the news that is out there in the world of the Miami Dolphins. First and foremost, it was tweeted out last night by Tom Garfinkel that the Miami Dolphins will unveil the changes to their uniforms on April 19th. So for those of you who are anxiously awaiting what the not really new uniforms, but the subtle changes to the Miami Dolphins uniforms are, it will be announced and they will be unveiled on April 19th, about a week before the draft. I know last time the Miami Dolphins actually changed their uniforms, they held an event at Hard Rock Stadium. I'm not sure if they're going to hold an event this time because these are just more sort of subtle changes. But if they do, we will let you know. And so April 19th appears to be the date for that. In other news, it was reported today by Jason Leisure of the Palm Beach Post, the Miami Dolphins offseason workout program dates. And they are going to have three sessions of OTAs. And those are the first session is from May 22nd to May 24th. The second session is from May 29th to May 31st. And the last session is from June 11th to June 14th. And the mandatory minicamp for all players will be from June 5th to June 7th. So those are the dates of the off-season workouts for the Miami Dolphins and the OTAs and such. So, and also they usually have, well, they will have a rookie minicamp, which is usually a couple weeks after the draft, where they just have the players out there short in shorts and a helmet sort of running around on the field and stuff. So that's usually a week or two after the draft. Once we get the dates for that, we will pass it along as well. The last thing I want to talk about before I get to Jason Leisure of the Palm Beach Post is there was a picture out this weekend of Ryan Tannehill jumping off a boat into some water. And you would think if the knee, he's having any sort of issues with the knee, he probably wouldn't be doing that, or at least as fans of the Miami Dolphins, you would hope he wouldn't be doing that. So the knee, he must feel really comfortable with the knee right now for him to be sort of jumping off a boat into the water and stuff like that, which, look, is not the most risky thing in the world, but there is some risk anytime you're jumping from that high of a thing into the water. We're going to talk a little bit more about Ryan Tannehill in the coming weeks. We really haven't talked about him a lot on this podcast of late, and by of late, I mean the last sort of 6 to 9 months, because there really hasn't been much to talk about with him. He didn't play all of last year in season, so we really couldn't talk about him in season. And since the season has ended, it's been nonstop, you know, Landry news with Sue, free agency, now we got the draft. So there really hasn't been a lot to talk about with Ryan of late on this podcast. That's going to change as we move forward now, as we get closer to the draft and then beyond the draft. And actually, later this week, myself and Brett Legassi here at our website, who is our in-house draft guru, who does all the research on these guys in the drafts. He breaks down films, breaks down tape, and you know, he does his homework on these guys like no one else. Me and him are going to do a show on the quarterbacks in this upcoming draft. As you know, the past few weeks we have sort of broken down the offensive linemen in this draft. We've broken down the wide receivers in this draft. We've done shows breaking down the linebackers and the tight ends in this upcoming draft. So later this week, me and Brett are going to record a podcast as we break down the quarterbacks in this draft. And as part of that, we are also going to talk about Ryan Tannehill and his situation with the team and his future in 2018 and beyond with the Miami Dolphins. It's all going to be one encompassing show about the quarterbacks. As like I said, we really haven't talked about Ryan Tannehill much of late on this podcast, just for the main reason there really hasn't been a reason to. But now as we get closer to the draft, and as we all know, quarterbacks in this draft and the Miami Dolphins have been linked, and maybe it's not one of the big names in round one, but it's someone, you know, round three, round five, someone later in the draft. So we're going to break down a bunch of the quarterbacks in this upcoming draft, and we're also going to give our thoughts on Ryan Tannehill, because I got a lot of things actually to talk about with Tannehill, and I have some thoughts I want to share as well about his 2018 in Miami and what we need to see, and his future long term with the Miami Dolphins. So that's pretty much all I have right now. So let's get to our interview with Jason Leisure of the Palm Beach Post. As I said, Jason's a great reporter for the Palm Beach Post. He knows his stuff when it comes to the Miami Dolphins. He does outstanding work for the Palm Beach Post. So sit back and enjoy my chat with Jason Leisure. I'm joined tonight on the podcast by Jason Leisure of the Palm Beach Post. How are you today, Jason?
I'm good, Mike. Thanks for having me, man. This is a fun little invitation I got here.
Yes, absolutely. Great to talk to you. I am a huge fan of your work. Let's start off talking about some of the recent Miami Dolphins moves they have made this offseason, because they have made a lot. Let's start with the offensive line. I think a lot of fans were a little bit surprised that the Miami Dolphins held on to Juwan James at $9 million or so. Have you heard anything about them trying to work out a long-term deal with James, or is this like a one-year, let's see how it goes, and then next year we will reevaluate things this time?
Yeah, I think that was the plan, Mike, the latter of what you just said, where they had a chance to get him at what is probably market value for 1 year, see how things go, and they can reevaluate that at the end of the year. Juwan James hasn't been amazing the last 2 years. He's been okay. But he was very intent on being back. And if they had turned him loose in this market, he would have likely gotten something like $9 million a year in a long-term deal. So this felt like a good price for them. They liked his mindset toward staying with this team and being part of the team, kind of redeveloping or turning around that offensive line. And that's why he's back for another year.
Yep, and that makes a lot of sense, because I know the market for right tackle was a little bit thin, so it does make sense on why they held on to him. Although, like you said, he hasn't played well at times. And I think last year when he wasn't on the field, the offensive line actually played a little bit better. So it will be interesting to see how he plays in 2018. The rest of the offensive line, obviously out with Mike Pouncey, and they brought in Josh Sitton, and they brought in Kilgore from San Francisco. As of right now, on paper, is this the best or the most solid the offensive line has looked in recent years, you think?
Well, I don't know about that, because I think that losing Mike Pouncey is going to hurt them a lot. I know there's some frustration over his health, and it affected his practice time last year. But Mike Pouncey is still really good. He was still their best offensive lineman the last 2 years when he was on the field. And last year he played all 16 games. So Mike Pouncey's not 30 yet, I don't think. So it's hard for me to believe that that Daniel Kilgore would be an upgrade at center. As far as the other spots, I think that I think Sitton is going to help at guard. And Laremy Tunsil is really the key to the whole thing. I mean, they thought it was going to be easy for him to go from playing guard to tackle that second year, because he's always played left tackle his entire football life, and that wasn't the case. It turned out to be harder than the team thought, harder than he thought, and until he plays like the cornerstone that they drafted him to be, I think that line is always going to be a little bit of a disappointment.
Yep, absolutely. The wide receiver spot, obviously, Landry is gone. And to touch on that real quick, I don't want to harp on that because that was a that was something that was in the news for many, many months, if not a year. Was the main reason
you were looking for was mistake?
Yeah, is
that was
the main
that was the mistake.
I think so too. He's a he's a great player. Obviously, I think all the fans loved him. All the fans are going to miss him. Was this strictly 100% just about the money, or was there more to it than that? Because we heard some rumblings and read some things that there might have been more to it. But was this just about the money?
It usually is. I would say in this case, based on what I know, it's about 90% about the money. If you're making a pie chart of why he's not in Miami anymore, 90% of it would be that he and the team did not see eye to eye on what he was worth. And what they talked to him about, what they had in mind, was fairly reasonable. But I think he was looking to get out and test the open market and see what kind of enormous deal he could get, and he didn't get that chance. He ends up, you know, getting franchise tagged, and he's going to get paid $16 million this year, which I think puts him about fifth as far as average salary for receivers in the league this year. And then he's got the option to try to work out a long-term deal with Cleveland, and we'll see what that's worth. But it's hard to tell exactly if he got the right, if he got the good side or bad side of that, because on one hand, he didn't get the long-term deal with a lot of guaranteed money. But he is getting $16 million this year, which is more than the Dolphins were ever willing to go to for him.
Absolutely, and that's a lot of money any way you slice it. That's a lot of money for 1 year any way you slice it. And then they went out.
It's not a good thing for the organization. It's not a good look for the organization to come out and say he's just not worth the money he thinks he is. Because on one hand, that kind of conveys not the best message to the rest of their guys that will be coming up for contracts soon, like Juwan James and Devontae Parker and players like that. But also, I mean, that's not going to look good if he just continues to put up enormous numbers and make Pro Bowls and build a Hall of Fame career the rest of his career. I mean, it's easier for them, I think, to highlight some of the things that go on behind the scenes, supposedly, things that are hard to prove or disprove. You know, if you want to lump him in with some of the culture issues, that's something that's going to be that looks a little better than just saying we didn't think he was worth the money.
Absolutely. And the one thing we talk about a lot on this podcast is some of the guys in recent years, like Vernon, Lamar Miller. Now you got Landry, even Rishard Matthews, the guys that Miami pick who are, let's just say they play well. Those are the guys that just seem to walk, and then they will pay someone like Andre Branch, Alonzo and stuff, guys who are here just for 1 year or guys who are from some other team, they pay them a lot. It's really frustrating as a fan, I think. And that's why I think fans sometimes get so upset, because they see the guys we pick who play well and they're just let them walk away. Sometimes they get almost nothing in return. So I think that's
it's frustrating too. I'm sure it's frustrating for Dolphins fans too. When you look at the simple math of what happened with Landry, where they draft him, I think it was late second round. Second round. They develop him into one of the most productive receivers in the league, and then they flip him basically for a fourth and a seventh, which, I mean, seventh round picks are
worthless.
Those don't even mean anything. I mean, a lot of times those guys don't make the roster and they get beat out by undrafted free agents. So you basically turn a second round pick into a fourth round pick. And I mean, that's just gotta be exasperating for their personnel people that scout college guys and draft those guys.
Absolutely, because he was a home run pick. I think one of the days on the show, I went through every draft, and you can make the case that he was their best draft pick since 1997 when they took Jason Taylor in round three. You can't come up with another pick. I mean, you got to go back to 1997. He was their best pick, probably, for the round he went in, at least. You know, I mean, it was a home run pick, and they just let him go. So, yeah, that's frustrating. Now, they replaced him with Amendola and Wilson. What are your thoughts on those two players?
Well, neither one of them is a guaranteed long-term option for them as far as filling that hole in terms of just actually filling that spot at slot receiver. and in terms of filling the production of a guy who was 100 catches, 1,000 yards every year, who was their best red zone player last year in the passing game. So, I mean, Wilson is on a three-year deal, $8 million a year. That's a reasonable price, but and he's promising, but he's not established himself yet. He's not a sure bet at this point. And he shows a lot of potential, but there's no guarantee that he'll be what they're hoping he'll be. Amendola, obviously, is toward the end of a very long, pretty successful career. So, I mean, you're really not counting on him past this season at his age.
Yep. And you mentioned
that's where you go to the draft.
Exactly. And you mentioned Devontae Parker. And I think Miami has till May to pick up his fifth-year option. Have you heard anything on that?
No, I'm sure they'll take all the way up to the deadline to decide.
I'm sure
that.
They will,
then,
too.
You know, even once they do decide that, that option is going to be injury protected, meaning that they can rescind it all the way up until next spring. As long as he's healthy. And it's hard to say what they're going to do with him because what is this, year four with Devontae Parker?
Correct.
You keep waiting. The Devontae Parker breakout season is perpetually right around the corner. It's never actually here, though. So every year you're going to hear them telling you, hey, this is the year, this is the year, just like you've been hearing. And so far it hasn't been. And they know that. And when they're talking about committing $9 or $10 million, whatever it's going to be in that option, even with the possibility of later revoking it, they've really got to be sure about it before they do that.
Yep. And like you said with him, every year it's the hype. Every year around the middle of August, you hear Sean Jefferson say he's a beast, he's a monster, this is a year. Then once they start the game, you get nothing, which I understand. He's a coach. He has to sort of say that stuff. But, yes, hopefully one of these years, and you would hope it would be this year because I think they will need him more. A lot more with the loss of Landry. The one area Miami really hasn't touched so far in the offseason, I know they probably will in the draft, is linebacker, which I thought heading into the offseason was probably their number one need, actually, because they just do not have enough at line. I mean, sometimes it is really bad. So are you surprised?
Well, how about tight end, too?
That was my next question, so you're getting ahead of me. But yes, tight end and linebacker are one and two, I thought.
It's baffling to me because here's a team, you're in this era where there are all these monster tight ends all over the league, and the Dolphins continue to get destroyed by those guys, whether it's Gronkowski or whoever else they face. They continue to get beat up by those guys, so they don't have someone to cover them, and they also don't have one of their own. They don't have their own monster tight end in the passing game. No team should be more familiar with how dangerous those guys are than the Dolphins, and yet they haven't addressed the tight end position. They haven't gone out and got anybody, and they also haven't gone out and gotten a guy that would, a linebacker that could cover those kinds of tight ends. So, I mean, those are connected holes for me on their roster, and they're just glaring. And so now they go into this spot where they've got no cap room left. All the big free agents have been signed, and I don't think this was a great year for, you know, free agent linebackers anyway, or tight ends for that matter. There were a few guys. I don't know if people wanted them to overpay and get Jimmy Graham or something like that, or Eric Ebron from the Lions might have been an interesting choice. But the one thing that the Dolphins have continually said, the one thing Mike Tannenbaum has continually said about their offseason strategy over the years, Mike Tannenbaum is on a mission to tell us as little as possible about their offseason strategy. But the one thing he has been fairly open about is you do not leave yourself in a position where you have to draft guys at positions to play right away. In other words, you fill out your starting 22 by the end of free agency. You don't go into the draft with starting lineup holes where you're banking on a second-round pick starting at linebacker or a fourth-round pick starting at tight end. And that's exactly what they've done this year, Mike.
They put themselves in a corner.
They have gone against the only thing they have publicly stated that they don't want to do in as far as their offseason moves. You go into this draft now needing a starting linebacker and needing a starting tight end among all your other needs, among needing to plan ahead at quarterback, among needing to plan ahead at receiver, plan ahead on the offensive line,
running back,
plan ahead at defensive tackle, running back. You have all these long-term issues, and I don't know if I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know whether you prioritize that or needing to find a starting linebacker and a starting tight end immediately.
I think they have to. I mean, I think they have to at linebacker, because I think at linebacker, guys like Mike Hall and...
Depends what you're playing for. It depends if you're playing for right now or if you're playing for 2019. Exactly. If you're playing for right now, then you got to make those first two picks count as far as guys that can make an impact right now. And even with first-round picks, Mike, you know that that's no guarantee.
Hey, we've missed on many of first-round picks in the past. Many of first-round picks. Yeah. Even last year with Harris, who I won't call a miss because I actually like him a lot, but we didn't get anything from him really. So first-round picks are by far no locks of anything, as we saw just last year with Harris, who I think is going to be a nice player in time. But year one, you know, you can't really – you're not going to know.
Well, I think he was a good player last year. He just didn't have the role. He's playing behind Branch and Wake and even sharing some time with William Hayes. But, you know, this coming year, when you draft a tight end or you draft a linebacker, they're not sitting behind anybody. They're going to be in there right away.
Absolutely. And with linebacker, too, they will get back Raekwon, but they don't know what he is because he didn't play last year either. So I think linebacker is going to have a ton of question marks in the summer. And I think that is the number one need for this team by far. Tight end's a need.
Last year's pick of taking Charles Harris in the first round, since you brought it up, that's what the Dolphins want to do. They want to make first round, in theory, they want to make first round picks like that. A guy that they don't need to play right away, that can develop behind real solid pros in Cameron Wake and Andre Branch. You can be frustrated about Andre Branch's health and all that, but Andre Branch does everything the right way. I mean, he's a good worker. Those are two guys that you would love Charles Harris to learn behind and then be ready to take over a starting job in this either year two or year three. They don't have that luxury this year because they haven't addressed those two key positions that we were just talking about, linebacker and tight end.
Yep, absolutely. And speaking of Wake, I know there's been some talk. I've seen some articles that they might be talking about an extension with him. He is 36 years old. What are your thoughts on that? I'm not sure. I mean, I know everyone loves Wake, and he's a great player and stuff, but are they going to extend him, you think, for a year?
I would try to if I were them, because even though I know is he 35 or 36 now?
He just turned 36 in January.
So he's 36, but he's had back-to-back double-digit sack seasons after the Achilles injury. He's been very, very good. He's still very feared. He's still their best defensive end right now.
Yep.
Even with Robert Quinn coming over, Cameron Wake is still the guy that you fear if you're an opposing offensive coordinator, and it's hard for me to doubt him at this point. I can't doubt Cameron Wake until I've seen an actual decline, and I think he showed some fatigue at times last year, but I don't think it was anything out of the ordinary, and I haven't seen a drop off from him yet. So if he wants to stay, I'd be interested, especially if you're able to do it just kind of 1 year out.
1 year at a time,
Extend for 2019, and maybe this time next year you're talking about extending for 2020. If you're able to do that at a good price, I would definitely do that if I were the Dolphins. The bigger question to me is whether Cam Wake wants to do that. Does Cam Wake still want to play in Miami, where it's been mediocre most of the time he's been here? Haven't won a playoff game the entire time he's been here. And I'm sure there are teams like – New England is always the one that people point to, but there are other really perennially good teams in the league that would love to add a veteran like him that's out there chasing a ring. It's kind of like you saw you saw Jason Taylor try to do. You see a lot of guys try to do. Usually it's with New England, and I'm sure that the people down here would hate to see that.
They would hate it.
If you're Cam Wake, I mean, how badly do you want to be here? How badly do you want to keep playing in Miami and hope that one of these years it turns around when it's been – basically 25 years of mediocrity.
Yes, exactly. And especially, I think, if Miami were to somehow, some way land a quarterback in round one, I won't say that's a sign that it's a true rebuild, but it kind of is. So what are your thoughts? Because I know you said that Mike Tannenbaum has played things so close to the vest. When it comes to Mayfield, it's been nothing like that. They talk about every time they are going to see him or talk to him. It's been so public with Mayfield, which makes me think that they are really not even interested in him because it's been so public. So what are your thoughts on that with Mayfield?
Oh, I know that they do love Mayfield. They definitely want him. They like. I think the guys that they really like out of the there's that top four group of quarterbacks
are Mayfield
and Josh Allen. A little less high on Josh Rosen, and I think they know that they're not even close to having a chance at getting Sam Darnold, who might end up being the number one overall pick. But here's the problem: we can talk about which of those four quarterbacks is the best, and as far as it pertains to the Miami Dolphins, it's a waste of time to discuss it.
Exactly, it's not going to happen.
Those guys are going to be gone. Most likely, you will see those four guys go in the first five picks because the four teams that control the first five picks all need a quarterback, and that means that those guys are going to be off the board before Miami can pick at 11. There's also no chance for the Dolphins to trade into that group because of how badly all those teams need it. You saw the Jets gave up, I think it was 3 second-round picks just to move from 6 to 3. So even if the Dolphins had the capital to make a trade like that, which would be a long shot, there's probably not a team up there that wants to give up that spot to take what they probably believe is going to be a franchise-changing quarterback. The one thing that could work for the Dolphins as far as getting one of those guys would be if you saw one of those top teams other than Cleveland, I guess, become infatuated with maybe Chubb or Barkley, you know, a defensive end or a running back, one of those really, really prized guys other than the quarterback, and maybe they think that is a better move for them than taking a quarterback that won't be making an impact for them for 2 or 3 years. The upside for the Dolphins is that those teams that are 6 through 10 theoretically are not going to be in the market for a quarterback. But once you see one of those top four quarterbacks slip past 5 in this hypothetical scenario, everybody's going to want to trade up ahead of the Dolphins to get that. So Buffalo would be in the mix, Arizona would be in the mix, and the Dolphins would probably have to trade up. They'll probably have to give up something significant to move up to, say, 7 or 8 and be able to get one of those guys. And even then, at that point, Mike, you're getting whoever's left out of the top four. You might not get the guy you want out of those four. You're getting whoever the other teams have left you. And hopefully, in your case, you'll be happy with it. Hopefully, it's Allen or Mayfield. But if not, really, then you start talking about they need a quarterback. I think they need a quarterback, a quality quarterback in this draft, not like a seventh rounder or something like that. You need to pick someone out of that second tier of guys because you need, regardless of Tannehill's situation, you need a backup to Tannehill this year. And I'm not convinced that they have a good one right now on the roster.
Nope.
And then you also need to plan ahead. Tannehill's going to be a free agent after 3 more seasons, and you've had him for, I believe it's 6 already or 5 full
it's 2012,
seasons
yep.
of actually playing on the field. And you don't know. You don't know if he's anything better than league average. He hasn't been anything better than league average right now. So you need to plan for short-term and long-term. And that's where I could see them looking into somebody like Mason Rudolph, Lamar Jackson, Kyle LaLetta, one of those types of guys that you might get in the second or third round. But the one thing that was explained to me that made sense is if they don't really believe in one of those guys, it's not, from their perspective, it's not worth giving up a second or third round pick that you could spend at another position just to take a guy, just for the sake of adding a young quarterback. Really, the better move for them would be to just, at that point, if they don't love one of those guys, would be just to ride it out going into this year with Fales or Osweiler or whoever as the backup quarterback, and then revisit the quarterback idea in the draft in 2019.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense because, like we've
that
said,
was a
they
lot,
got.
Man.
I know it's a lot, but no, it's good though because they do have so many holes on this roster that they cannot waste a pick to take someone just for the sake of taking someone. I remember, God, I don't know how many years back now, they sort of did that in the second round with John Beck, and that just failed because they were just taking a guy to take a guy, and that does not work in this league. You have to take someone you think can be good. So if there's someone there like Mike White, the kid from Richmond or whatever, that they think he might be the guy in like a year or two or three, that's fine. I have no problem with that. But don't take one just for the sake of taking one.
Well, and Adam Gase's job hinges on that because he's the quarterback.
Oh, I know.
So I mean, he can't afford, as far as job security goes, to draft a dud and not be able to develop him. I mean, if they're still losing at that point and they haven't developed whoever they draft at quarterback into someone they can bank on long term or trade as a good asset that way, that's going to be a really, really precarious situation for Adam Gase at that point.
Yep. Now, let's look a little bit towards the draft here. Round one, obviously, everyone will be talking about the linebackers. They'll be talking about the defensive tackle from Washington. Now, how about the safety? Because I know I hear a lot. Like, when it comes to safety, a lot of fans say, well, they already have safeties in McDonald and Jones, which my response is McDonald's not making a lot of money, and they're pretty much the same type of player. So in round one, if it's Patrick Falsem or James is there from Florida State, what are your thoughts if they went with a safety in round one? Would you be against that?
Yeah, I would definitely be against that. I think they've got bigger needs.
Yep. Yep.
That's it, really. I mean, maybe if you were in a better situation where you didn't need a starting linebacker or a starting tight end right now, maybe
you could pick the best player available. Yep.
You could do, yeah, exactly. You could do more long-term thinking about what you need at safety. But right now, if you're really serious about trying to compete for at least a playoff spot in 2018, you better draft a starting linebacker or tight end at number 11. And there really aren't tight ends that you would take that high. So that'd be the spot where you'd take a linebacker, in my opinion.
Yep, I'm sort of with you on that because safety would be a little bit of a luxury pick. And right now, Miami does not have that type of luxury. Last question for you here as we wrap it up. And we're going to talk about one spot that never gets talked about, which is the
long
kicker position. No, we got to talk about the kicker. Why did they let Parkey walk? Was it just about money again? Because it's not like he made that much money with the Bears.
Oh, he got $15 million for 4 years. That's pretty
he
good.
He got $15 million? Pretty good kick. I didn't think he got that much. Wow.
No, that's very good kicker money. I think that is.
Okay.
It's really, really good kicker money. And honestly, people that I've talked to with the Dolphins were happy for him that he got that. They were not going to be able to pay that.
That's a big payday.
And they understand the business, just like the players always say it's a business. The teams know it's a business. And nobody faults Cody Parkey for taking that money from the Bears that he wasn't going to get if he stayed in Miami. Now, if they were willing to pay to keep Cody Parkey, they just weren't willing to go to that level. And I think that one does hurt because
it does.
With Cody Parkey last year, you forget the fact that he had, I think, 4 converted onside kicks, which is pretty amazing. But they just felt like they had a very solid, reliable, strong leg kicker. So you could send him out there in any conditions, in any weather, and there wasn't a lot of concern. There wasn't a lot of worrying or, you know, if you think back to 2016 when Andrew Franks was the kicker for the Dolphins, there were times where Adam Gase wouldn't even watch those field goals, the longer ones. And now Franks made some pretty big ones.
He did make some big ones.
He made that big one in Buffalo in the dead cold that got them in the playoffs. But in general, Darren Rizzi, the special teams coordinator, said that Cody Parkey, with no disrespect to Andrew Franks, Cody Parkey was an upgrade across the board. He was better in every possible category, and that's why they made the move they did, cutting Franks right at the start of the season and picking up Parkey off waivers. They had hoped that they would be able to keep Parkey, who's a local kid, grew up loving the Dolphins, owns a home in Jupiter, Florida. They had hoped that he would be their kicker for the long term, but they weren't going to be able to commit the kind of money that the Bears did.
Yeah, absolutely, because that's just one more hole they have to fill. And we'll see
and
what
they don't
do.
Have a, yeah,
yeah.
Now they don't have a kicker. But
they don't have a
the
kicker.
The upside for them is, and this is really the tough thing about life as an NFL kicker, is there are only 32 jobs for that position. No one ever carries a backup kicker. So there are 32 spots, and obviously there are more than 32 men in the world who are excellent kickers. So there's always a surplus at that position. I mean, they would have liked to have stayed with a sure bet with somebody that they knew was really good in Cody Parkey. But you do always have that option to go find somebody off the scrap heap because if you take the best 5 kickers that are not in the league, those guys are still pretty good.
Yep, absolutely. So it was great having you on, Jason. I have wanted to have you on for a long time, so it was great having you on. Everyone, be sure to check out his work at the Palm Beach Post.com or the Palm Beach Post if you live in South Florida. I'm sure we'll have you on again sometime down the road, Jason, and thanks for a few moments tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Mike.
Yep, you have a good one.
All right, man, you too.
All right, bye. Once again, I would like to thank Jason Leisure of the Palm Beach Post for joining me tonight here on the podcast. As I said, he is someone I've wanted to have on this podcast for a while, so I'm very grateful that he gave us a few moments of his time to talk about all things Miami Dolphins. And to follow Jason on Twitter, you can at Jason Leisure, at Jason Leisure. That's L-I-E-S-E-R. Be sure to check that out and check out his work on the PalmBeachPost.com website. That is the PalmBeachPost.com website. He has an article up earlier today where he talks about how the Miami Dolphins want to hold a bunch of events at Hard Rock Stadium, including the 2019 NFL Draft, that the Miami Dolphins have thrown their name into the hat to be the host site of the 2019 NFL Draft. And he also has an article up from yesterday where he talks about all the lessons Adam Gase learned from a rough 2017 season. So you're going to want to read that as well. Great work by Jason all the time. So be sure to follow him on Twitter at Jason Leisure and read his work at thepalmbeachpost.com. Also, make sure you're following me on Twitter at Dolphins Talk, at Dolphins Talk. And we have some new articles that are about to be put up on the website as well that you're going to want to check out. And anytime news breaks, make sure you are reading DolphinsTalk.com. So I think that's all we have for today. Our next show will probably be Wednesday. Unless news breaks and we have to do a show tomorrow, our next show will probably be Wednesday. Right now we have a guest lined up for Wednesday's show who I think is going to be very, very good and someone you're all going to want to hear from. So as of right now, that'll be our next show. And we might have another guest later this week. And like I said, we're going to have that show where we break down the quarterbacks in the 2018 NFL Draft. So be on the lookout for that. Everyone, have a great rest of your day. And we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.